This is a HeadGum Podcast.
In 86, N.M. Martin wrote the first book of what became a cult. Now it's time for Babysitter's Club.
Okay, and here we are again, aren't we?
Is that how you always introduce the show? It sounds
no. I
new.
Try to say something different every time.
Okay.
We've got a lot of role plays to get through today, so
okay.
What I'd love to do is introduce the show, and I don't need permission for that, so I'm just going to go right ahead and do it.
Permission granted.
Okay. Well, but I didn't need it. So,
but you have it.
It's irrelevant. Well, thank you. I appreciate
you're welcome.
It. It's you know what? It's a bonus. But okay. It's not necessary, and I want people to know it's not necessary.
But you have
nice.
It, and
it's
be careful. Necessary. You're skating on thin ice. I will rescind
but it's
it.
Nice. But and you can.
I can rescind
but
it. I can.
It won't affect how I introduce the show.
I won't be rescinding it, but I can, and I
okay.
just need you to know that.
I know that.
I have that power over you.
And it doesn't affect me. Hi.
Hi.
And welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
A podcast in which I, Jack Alexander Shepherd,
and I'm Tanner Greenring.
And I, Jack Shepherd.
What's the problem? Seems like you lost momentum, like you hit a speed bump.
It just really hit me this time. It just really hit home this time. How bad of a sentence that is.
The sentence. So let's deconstruct it real quick. You said a podcast in which I, Jack Alexander Shepherd, and I interjected and said, and I'm Tanner Greenring.
Right.
And you said,
and, just
and no I, to... Jack Shepherd. So I think it was fine until you came back in with, and I, Jack Shepherd.
No, it wasn't. It wasn't. It wasn't fine. It stopped being fine the minute you started talking.
Nope. My statement was sort of set off by like M dashes. I was
okay.
just, I was saying like a little, I'm inserting myself and saying something,
yeah.
and now back to Jack, you know?
Okay, let's do that. Let's do okay. that. Can just give me a brief second before you say, and I'm Tanner Greenring,
okay.
to interject something else.
Yep.
Okay. Hi, and welcome to the Babysitter's Club.
Club.
A podcast in which I, Jack Alexander Shepherd, open parentheses.
And I'm Tanner Greenring.
Close parentheses. Discuss, along with my friend Tanner Greenring.
See? Fine. It's fine.
Yep. The great novels in the Great Satyr Cycle by The Hand That Shakes. That's right. I am talking about The Princess of the Prince of Town, Saint Annabelle Matthews Martin, Stormborn, Soul Skinner, Mother of Clocks, and Bane to Bats. She is the first of her name, the last of her kind, and the last hope for humankind. And this week, we are going to be discussing a novel that she wrote called Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 5, Christy Power.
Christy Power.
Christy
Let's
Power.
Let's talk about this title real quick.
Okay.
Why is it called this?
Yeah, why is it called this?
why is it called Christy Power? There's nothing in this book. First of all, Christy Power is meaningless.
Yeah.
But there's nothing in this book that would make me exclaim Christy Power at all.
Is it, you know what? I don't know my Turtles history, but did TMNT 3, Turtles Through Time, come out around this time? And is Ellen and Anne just kind of trying to play off Turtle Power?
This is 99, so I think Turtles in Time was probably 10
96.
Years
what
no.
Look it up.
Turtles in Time?
Yeah.
TMNT 3, Turtles in Time, was 93.
Okay, so it's not that.
Sometime before, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, this is the one where they dress as like Ronin, like ninjas.
Yeah.
This is a good one. I owned all these movies on VHS.
No, it's not that. I don't know why they called it that. I don't know why they called it this.
Let's workshop it, because I feel like there's other things we could have done. I would have called it like The Story of Christy, maybe, which isn't funny, but it's better.
The story of Christy would have been actually really compelling. Here's what I'll say. Christy Power got me to click on it. Because I love Christy. I think she's a powerful woman. I like stories that are about her exhibiting that power.
It's clickbait. Ellen did clickbait.
Not really that. Ellen did clickbait.
Oh, I guess the B plot, Christy exerts her power over the
fascists
moral,
of Stony Brook.
Like fascists.
Yeah.
I guess there was some Christy power there, but it's the B plot.
Yeah.
So why did you name the book after the B plot, Ellen?
I think that the A plot and the B plot are equal, but since we're talking about A plots and B plots, I think we should describe this novel.
Yes, okay.
What I'd like to do is have me describe this novel, and then you'll mute yourself while I do it.
Okay, I'm muted. Can you hear me?
What I'm going to do is describe this book, then I'm going to put 60 seconds on this big bad clock that I happen to have handy. I'll have Tanner describe the book. I would like to begin now.
Please. You have my permission. You have my permission to begin.
Tucked away between the vast expanse of the ocean and the lush greenery of the hillsides, the quiet town of Stony Brook does things a little bit differently from the rest of the country. You see, in Stony Brook, they believe that the only way to behave is the way they've always behaved. And if you ask them about it, they'll tell you that the best kind of freedom is the freedom to stay silent. And if you push them a little bit further, they'll tell you that the very best thing you can do with a book is to burn it. And as long as you agree with them, well, I dare say you'll get along just fine. But this is the story of a man who didn't want to get along just fine in Stony Brook. This is the story of the time Ted Morley told the people of Stony Brook he'd had just about enough of their kind of freedom. This is nothing less than the story of a war for the soul of America. Babysitter's Club, Friends Forever, number 5, Christy Power.
Whew. Whew. That had a wang of To Kill a Mockingbird on it.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was going for.
And something that always struck me about, which I'm certain To Kill a Mockingbird would have been on this
banned books list. Yeah.
Yeah. Something that always struck me about To Kill a Mockingbird when I read it as a kid was one passage where Scout says that her dad doesn't let them play with playing cards.
Okay.
Because it depicts British royalty on it, and that's, like, un-American.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
He's, like, so staunchly American. He's like, no, I shan't be having
wow
British royalty depicted in this house.
I never thought about that, but that makes a ton of sense.
That's my interesting To Kill a Mockingbird factoid of the week.
I loved it. Segment. And it's a new segment, and it's Great American Novel of the Week, and we already have that segment.
Okay, right.
Do you want to describe the book?
No.
Will you?
Do I have a choice?
No.
Then yes.
Okay, I grant you permission. What I'm going to do, I think, is just put 60 seconds on this big bad
Jack,
clock. Yes.
Real quick?
Yeah.
Thank you for the permission. You honor me
okay
with your giving.
Yeah, it's a gift.
Generous nature.
Yes, it's free.
Okay, and you want me to go now.
Yeah, what I would like to do is put 60 seconds on this big bad clock that I happen to have handy and have you describe this novel during those 60 seconds and everything that happens in it. And I will pay rapt attention, and I'm going to start now.
Wait, stop.
Okay, I stopped.
As soon as you hit the timer, will you please mute yourself?
Why do I have to mute myself? I'd never even say anything.
New rules.
Okay, fine. You know what? I'm going to honor you. I'm going to start in 5, 4. Go.
Okay, so
I've muted myself.
There's a new teacher in town. He's kind of a long-term substitute, and his name is Ted Morley, and he assigns Christie's English class a project called Factor Fiction, where they need to read a fiction book, and they need to do biographies of a random classmate that they're paired up with. Christy gets paired up with Carrie Rettlin, the bad boy of Stony Brook, and they're kind of fun, fake archenemies. They do these biographies together, and Christy reads in Carrie Rettlin's diary that he got kicked out of school at his old school, and she eventually like reveals to him that she read it, and he gets very pissed at her. And meanwhile, one of the busybodies who was burning books a few in one of the mysteries. Oh God, he's counting down. Sees the book list that Ted Morley hands out and gets all up in arms and tries to get fired. And in my, you didn't say, did you
end
say?
Time, end time,
okay.
Sorry, I was muted. Yeah, pretty good, pretty good. I mean, the plot about him getting fired is pretty substantial, and you gave it short shrift, but I have so many things I want to talk about. Maybe the first thing we should talk about is something that we presciently asked, I think in the maybe the first episode of this podcast, and it is, what's the deal with Stony Brook?
Yeah, what is the deal with Stony Brook?
What the fuck? It's like, this isn't the only time this has happened.
Here's what I think the deal with Stony Brook is. I consider myself a bit of a Connecticut expert at this point because I'm a bit of a Connecticut Yankee.
Okay.
I've been doing a lot of
King Arthur's Court.
Maybe someday.
Okay.
If I go back in time. I've been doing a lot of Zillow shopping for rental homes in Connecticut lately. Mm-hmm. Because Jamie and I are definitely going to get out of this plague-ravaged city before we're claimed by the Great Storm.
Mm-hmm.
And I get the sense that every town in Connecticut has a part that's like normal, where normal people live, and everyone is normal. And then there's always another part where it's like...
It's like the Man in the High Castle.
It's like very wealthy and very conservative and very like pearl clutchy.
I think like this is like that, what you're describing, but like turned up to 11. Yeah. Let me read you this passage. This is like the big scene at the end where Ted Morley has to defend. It's like he's like basically assigns Catcher in the Rye, and like the town, like they're like, okay, let's burn the town down.
Yeah.
I
won't having my daughter read about
some
bum teenager.
Like a fucking classic American novel. It's like fucking Stony Brook, Connecticut. It's just outside of Stamford. But he's like, okay, he has to defend himself in front of the entire school. And the following thing happens.
I'd like to apologize, first of all, said Ted, for not submitting my reading list for the approval of the English department. I honestly did not know this was required. At my last teaching post, which was at private school, teachers made assignments at their own discretion. My introduction to SMS was rushed, and if I was told of this requirement, I forgot about it. I do apologize for this. He paused, cleared his throat, closed his eyes for a second, and began to speak again. I do not, however, apologize for the content of that list. There was a stirring in the auditorium, and several people began to speak at once. Save our children! Cried out one woman.
Yeah.
This is the same place. Remember when Claudia like wanted to put on a Thanksgiving play that like centered Native Americans?
Oh right, yeah.
And like the town, like the entire town showed up to like heckle these like 8-year-olds who were in the play.
Rip from the headlines, it feels like.
Yeah,
Jack. Can I ask a quick question? And it's relevant to sort of like the opening chapter of this book and sort of the introduction to everyone. The question is, is this true?
Okay, wow. That's a hit segment from our Patreon podcast where we ask whether something is true.
Carrie used to call me Kristen all the time just to try to get my goat. Why he would want my goat, I don't know. I don't even have a goat. To tell you the truth, I have a humongous puppy named Shannon and a wacky little kitten named Pumpkin.
Yeah.
And my question for you, Jack, is this true? Does Christy have a kitten named Pumpkin? Must have happened, right?
First of all, what happened to Boo Boo?
Do you mean Boo Boo?
Ellen? You mean Boo Boo? You know what it's like? It's like in Roseanne when the, like one season like their sister was still Becky, but it was just like a different person.
Yeah. It was Sarah Chalky from Scrubs.
Is that what it is?
I don't know. I don't know what Ellen's doing with this. Does she think like the Friends Forever series is No Rules Just Right?
Well, so Ellen really took a bunch of initiative this week in a way that I liked. You and I realized when we were reading the mysteries that that Ellen was just so good at them that they just basically gave them over to Ellen after a while.
Right.
And what I like about her having come back to this is she's like, yeah, I'll do it, but it's a mystery.
Yes, it is a mystery.
And like all the references are going to be to like stuff that happened in mysteries, and it's a mystery. And like,
yeah,
Scholastic was like, okay, well, let me explain the concept for Friends Forever for you. It's like, you know, like Stacy and Claudia are fighting, and Ellen's like, you mean a mystery, right? They're like, no, well, it's like the kid, like everything's changing, and like the girls are like growing up. And
have
Ellen's
you ever heard
like,
that
yeah.
Keen song?
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a lot like that.
She's like, oh, do you mean the Sarah McLachlan song, Building a Mystery?
Jack, it sounds like you are leading us, you and Ellen are leading us down a garden path.
Yeah, well, yes.
Do you want me to call her in?
Yeah, call her in.
Liz?
She's still Liz. There.
Yeah, she lives here.
Okay.
She doesn't pay any rent, though.
Okay.
Liz, sorry to bother you. Can you please sing the Building the Mystery song for us? I know it's been a long time. Do you even remember it? You do. Okay. She's going to sing it.
You're guessing the mystery.
Oh, wow. That's as beautiful as I remember it. It's been
yeah,
too long.
Yeah, it holds up.
Yeah, it still holds up. And this is a segment we like to do, and it's Oops All segments, and we can do whatever the fuck we want, just like Ellen
yeah, it's
Miles.
It's our fucking show. Yeah.
It's our fucking show, and we can do whatever we want. And Ellen taught me that.
Ellen Power.
Yeah, they were like, can you do a Friends Forever, and can you call it, like, The Life of Christy? And she was like, nope, I'm going to do a mystery, and I'm going to call it Christy Power. But you can have it.
There was a mystery in this one.
But this is the segment where we guess. I texted Tanner yesterday when I realized what was going on, and I told him to write down his guess for the solution to the mystery after he got past chapter 6. And I have also done that. And shall I start, or will
sure.
you start?
No, I would like you to.
Here's what I wrote down. Okay, so did you describe?
Well, let me ask this.
Okay,
did you get it right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Did you get it right?
Almost.
Okay. I got it mostly right.
I did a joke answer, and the joke answer ended up being pretty close.
Yeah. Well, you and I are both kind of Carrie Rutlands at heart, I think. I can't remember whether you described this, but briefly, like the central point of the Christy-Carrie interaction is that they are writing biographies of each other, and in the course of researching each other, Christy reads Carrie's diary, and she reads a diary entry where he's like, I got kicked out of... It reminded me of Buffy the Vampire Slayer. Like, I got kicked out of school in Chicago, and that's why we had to move here.
Right, yes.
And she's like, he gets, like, super fucking furious with her that she read that, and that's a lot of the rest of the book. And here's what I wrote. Carrie is fooling Christy. He left the book open at a fake diary entry to trick her, knowing she'd read it. She learned something about truth and biography as a result.
Okay.
That's pretty right.
It's not... Yeah, I guess it's right enough. It's not exactly right.
No, it's not. I didn't fucking, like, predict the exact end of the book, but I was right about the main thing, which is that the diary entry was fake. What it turns out it was is that he was writing his novel.
You and I, our guesses are equally right then.
Okay.
And we agree that that's true now, right?
I'm not going to agree until I hear what your thing is.
Okay. End of chapter 6. Guessing the mystery, : Carrie is writing fanfic.
Okay. Okay. That's true. That's right. Okay. We're equally right. I think
we're equally
are.
Right. Carrie's I thought it fanfic. Was going to end up being like a Holden Cauliflower
right.
like themed sort of like, oh, I'm writing Catcher in the Rye 2.
Yeah.
A sequel to Catcher in the Rye.
But he's actually just writing this kind of awesome fanfic about, like, he's like a hacksaw.
Yeah, he is a hacksaw.
He's like
yeah.
an elite hacksaw who, like, hacks into the mainframe of, like, Chicago's public schools and gets his
I
whole kind of
feel like that's
out.
What Catcher in the Rye 2 would be about.
Oh, definitely.
Don't you think?
I bet it exists.
Like, it's Holden Cauliflower's son.
Yeah. Hell yeah. And he's a lead hacksaw.
Yeah.
Fuck yeah.
And he's kind of picked up on his dad's, like, don't give a shit attitude about the world.
But all the other Anons are phonies.
Yeah, exactly.
That's pretty
They're
good.
Not red-pilled yet.
Yeah, okay, good. Tanner, while we're talking about cauliflower and fanfic,
yeah,
I thought it might be time for one of the hit segments that we've developed just for the Friends Forever series, since it is Oops All Segments.
Yeah, and that includes new segments.
Yeah, it includes new segments, and I don't know why people can't get through their heads. The world
oops,
of segments expands infinitely forwards and backwards.
Yep, it includes all former segments, all current segments, and all future segments.
Exactly. Segments we don't even know about yet.
Right.
But we do know about this one, and it's called our Ship of the Week.
Ship of the Week. Arg, matey.
Arg, we're going to do our Ship of the
Welcome
Week.
Welcome to the Ship of the Week.
Okay.
Ooh, the pirate voice sounds good. I've really honed that. One sec. Arg, matey. God, that sounds good. In here? In my cans?
Hello?
Hello?
Hello? Sorry, I must have called the wrong person. It sounded like a pirate was talking.
Sorry, that was my lover.
Okay. Well, I hope I haven't caught you at a bad time.
No, we are just, making love, but we're very open about that, so...
Okay.
It's fine.
Well, this is Rich Richson.
Okay, and I am... Goliath Hardbody?
I know that. I called you.
Yes, and you work for me?
No, I'm the president and co-founder of the 501c3 charitable organization, Parents for Decency.
So you don't work for me?
No, in the future, I might...
So it's fine that I have sort of by proxy invited you into my lovemaking by being on the phone with you while I'm making love to my pirate.
To a pirate.
Yeah.
I'm not going to say it's fine, but I in the interest of moving this conversation along, I'm not going to say it's not fine.
Right. I think there would be a conflict of interest there if you did report up to me.
Right, and maybe I will in the future, but this is kind of, you know, I'm just out of business school, and yep. I do think I have a long, fruitful future ahead of me, but right now I am the president and co-founder, as I said, of Parents for Decency, a group here in Stony Brook that is trying to burn all the books, and I'm hoping to leverage my charitable work protecting kids from Catcher in the Rye one day into a profitable babysitting conglomerate called... CenterTech. But that's a long way in the future.
Okay. Well, good luck.
Yeah.
I wish you the best. Or is there a reason you're calling me in particular?
Yeah. I noticed while I was doing some work around the Stony Brook Middle School, banning books, burning books, burying books.
Yep. The three Bs.
Yeah. The three Bs. That there's this very cool cat,
okay.
Called Kerry Rettlin.
Okay.
He's funny, he's quick on his feet, he's good looking, he's kind of a prankster, but he's smart.
Sounds like a cool cat.
It's a cool cat.
Yeah.
And I don't know how well you know Stony Brook Middle School, but there's also this very cool girl at Stony Brook called Claudia Kishi, who's recently... kind of lost
snack czar?
Excuse me?
Sort of like a junior snack czar?
Yes, a junior snack czar.
I think we
yes.
have her, we kind of have her on our radar. We've done some scouting reports about her for...
Oh, what's your
we're
company?
We're looking for a snack czar. My company?
Yeah.
It's called Hardbody LLC.
Okay. It's just you out of your basement looking for a snack.
It's me and a couple other guys who are working part-time. They have full-time jobs, but they are sort of helping me when they can. Yeah, we're getting this thing off the ground. If you want to get in on the ground floor and
no, I've got big plans for my own company, CenterTech, babysitting conglomerate.
Right.
I think it's going to go well. I'm not going to have to get bought out.
Okay.
Anyway, I was just thinking...
I thought you said you were with Parents for... Human Decency.
Right. What and I also said that I want to leverage the charitable work that I'm doing protecting kids into eventually a profitable
babysitting conglomerate. But it sounds like you have done that.
It's my dream.
Yeah, okay. Right.
Anyway, this Claudia Kishi, she dresses great. She's cool. Yep. She's funny. She's smart. She's got this artistic flair. Wouldn't it be cool if they got together?
Carrying Claudia.
Yeah.
Would that be cool?
And him doing a ship. And bring the pirate back, because we're doing this. We're riding the seven seas together. Arr, right now, and we just put up the skull and crossbones.
Hello,
we're
who doing... is this? Goliath just handed me the phone.
This is Rich. We're get in your ship.
Ah, yes. One moment, please. Oh, I'm climaxing.
No.
Hello, it's Goliath again.
Yeah.
I'm a little more available now.
Okay.
Sorry, I was distracted. You ship Carrie and Claudia, huh?
Yeah, and I want to do a ship. And that's what I think would be a good couple.
Okay. May I do a ship?
Yeah. You okay there?
Thinking. Snake Joel.
Snake Joel Griffin, yeah. She's got real problems.
And, no, I don't like Snake Chill. Okay. Emily Bernstein and Carrie Rettland.
Okay, wow. All right, so it looks like this is going to be the beginning of an extremely contentious rivalry between us. Good day, sir.
Good day. Good day, sir. I hope to work with you more. I your attitude is very refreshing.
And scene. Okay. Good, that's fun.
Good, that is fun.
Yeah.
I think it would be fun to, I think Carrie Rettland's bad boy attitude and Emily Bernstein's kind of buttoned up good girl attitude would be a fun.
That'd be cool foils for each other.
Yeah.
Okay. Emily Bernstein is nothing.
It's better. No, she's fucking Claudia's new best friend.
She's nothing. I mean, nothing against her.
Did you read last week's book?
Yeah.
She's Claudia's new best friend.
Okay, she was cool. She was cool. She was fine. She's not in this book.
She is in this book. She was at a party, and she was talking to Logan, and it drove Marianne wild with jealousy.
Okay, fine. Marianne's not even really in this book.
Ship of the week.
That was our ship of the week.
Loved it.
Anything else you want to talk about before we take a little break?
No.
Okay, fine. Now I'm asking that you say goodbye. Okay, he's a good one. He's like very deliberately reached, like slowly reached toward his recorder and pressed pause like an asshole. Hey everybody, it's Jack again with a brand new update about the delightful family mystery mobile game, June's Journey. I have been making real progress solving puzzles and getting stuff to put on my cool estate in the fun world of mystery, danger, and romance that's conjured up by June's Journey, a game set in the roaring 20s about a daring young woman named June who's traveling to her sister's estate to uncover scandalous family secrets and customizing her own luxurious estate island in the process. Tanner, unfortunately, is still pretty convinced by the ad brief we were sent that he has actually been assigned on a real secret mission to uncover the killer of June's sister, Claire. The good news is that after some extremely frustrating conversations with the unbelievably patient people at the Central Connecticut Steamship Authority, I was able to clear up the fracas regarding the steamship that Tanner rented. But the bad news is that, if I'm reading this hastily scrawled missive correctly, he appears to have gotten himself horribly lost in a hedge maze in Würzburg, which I think is in Germany. According to the secret code on the back of the letter, which, to be clear, he's just written this part upside down, he is in good spirits and he is hot on the tail of Grandma Heath, and I shouldn't worry, but could I please send him 40 ducats in an unmarked envelope so that he can bribe the butler, which sounds both complicated and questionably legal. I'm going to keep you guys posted on this, but in the meantime, you can discover your inner detective just like I have when you download June's Journey for free today on iOS and Android. I have to go. There is apparently a carrier pigeon at the door with a new message from Tanner. Tanner, we learned a lot of pretty interesting Christie facts this week, didn't we, as Carrie delved into her biography?
Hand me another brick, my dearest friend.
Okay, and you're just going to interrupt me with a song. Okay, that seems fine.
To build a mausoleum all around this shriveled thing that's reached its natural end, and lower it at last into the ground. So strike the match and join me as we sing a glad goodbye to all of history's men. Let's warm our hands upon this funeral pyre and think of all the joys that life will bring and all the light we'll share together when we've put the patriarchy to the fire.
Okay, that's great. And you wanted to just kind of go with that.
Strike against the patriarchy, Jack.
Yes.
And we have a poem for it from when we did the mysteries.
And it's Hoopsall segments. Why do we have to keep explaining
it? And it's Hoopsall segments. And Ellen wrote all those. So yeah, it's good.
No, and that's what Ellen wanted. Ellen wanted us to do a whole mystery episode, but it's Hoopsall segments, Ellen, and even you don't have that much power over us.
Right.
Because she just wrote a mystery. Do you think she wrote a mystery and was like, hey, I've got this extra mystery lying around. Do you want it for Friends Forever? Do you think that's what happened?
She's writing her own fanfic.
Yeah.
Like, she kept writing mysteries.
Yeah.
And she's like, I just have Scholastic was like, hey, Pete, can you write a Friends Forever? He's like, no.
No, I'm fucking done with this.
Right. And they were like, Nola, can you write Friends Forever, and she was like, woof, woof, woof. I'm a
Scholastic, much like us, DM'd Pete at like 2 in the morning. And we're like, hey, oh, Pete, oh, hey, oh, just
sweet
oh,
feet.
One more thing. Hey, sweet, sweet feet of Pete. Do you think you want to write another one of the books? And he just wrote back, no.
That really got to you, huh? So they went to Ellen, and she's like, yeah, I've got one in the can. And they're like, wait, what do you mean? She's like, I've got one written.
Yeah.
You can just have it.
You can have it.
I want to talk to you about Mr. Counts.
Okay.
Who's this subversive librarian. Like, right. Anarchist librarian.
Yeah, fuck yeah. Mr. Counts is
awesome.
Stony
Brook Middle School.
Yeah.
Mr. Counts, the librarian, was only too happy to help me. First, he showed me where to find a copy of the Constitution, so I could read the First Amendment. Congress shall make no law, it says, respecting an establishment of religion or prohibiting the free exercise thereof, or abridging the freedom of speech or the press, or the right of the people peaceably to assemble and to petition the government for a redress of grievances. It's the part about freedom of speech and of the press you'll find most interesting, Mr. Count said. That is, if you're wondering about Mr. Morley's rights. I am, I told him. You may find this interesting, too, Mr. Counts pulled a book out of a stack on his desk. This is the most recent resource guide for banned books. It's put out every year by the American Library Association. He handed me the oversized book. I flipped through it. There was a list of every book banned or challenged in the past year, as well as a long list of books titled, Some People Consider These Books Dangerous. I just love Mr. Counts, this rogue, subversive librarian who's arming Stony Brook's young women.
Yeah.
With, like, all the knowledge they need to dismantle the, like, bourgeoisie pearl clutchers.
Hell yeah.
In Stony Brook. You go, Mr. Counts.
Yeah. When the culture war comes to Stony Brook, you can count on Counts.
Ooh, that's good.
Yeah.
Did you have a strike against patriarchy this week?
Well, before I answer that,
yeah,
if I didn't, am I canceled?
I think so.
Yeah,
I think this was a book full of people speaking their voices and standing up against injustice and standing up against the established power. And if you remain silent on issues of oppression, then you were on the side of the oppressors.
Yeah.
So, did you have a strike against patriarchy?
Yeah, no, and I did. Yeah. And that was a test of you. and not right. stalling so I could find something. I looked at Carrie, and this is right at the end. Can I ask you one more question? Anything, he said, smiling. Man, I ship Carrie and anyone.
Okay. Do you ship Carrie and Mussolini?
I guess not. Okay, I take it back. Anything, he said, smiling. There was one thing I was dying to know, and this was my chance to find out. I
Do looked you hear into the fireworks? Are the fireworks picking up?
A little bit.
It's nightmarish. It's like I'm in a fucking DMZ over
You're
here.
You're like in The Purge. This is what you've always wanted.
It's honestly, it's fireworks every night from 5 p.m. to, I would say, 2 a.m. From mid-July to, I would say, the week after July 4th.
Okay.
Get used to it.
Okay.
Saving Nation.
Can I read this?
Yeah, please.
There was one thing I was dying to know, and this was my chance to find out. I looked into his eyes and asked, why did you really leave Illinois? Carrie grinned. Oh, that's simple, he answered. See, the aliens decided it was time for me to go, so they beam me up and beam me down right here in Stony Brook. Carrie, come on, really? Oh, you want the truth? Now he was in full Carrie mode, smirk, eyebrow, and all. Well, the townspeople accused me of being a witch, so my family had to leave in the dead of night. I just stood there shaking my head. I was incredibly glad to have my old archenemy back. And it's pro-witch.
It's pro-witch. It's Wiccan power.
Yeah. And let's hear it for the witches. Let's hear it for the witches.
And Carrie's a witch, which is interesting.
And it sounds like the French witch hunters must have chased him out of Illinois.
Right. Yep.
Presumably. I mean, I'm just trying to fill in some gaps here.
And he made friends with Black Pete, the goat, who's actually Satan, and became the Vivitch.
And what's that from?
The Vivitch.
And what's that from?
A movie called The Vivitch.
Okay. I thought you were just stuttering.
Did you see The Vivitch?
I didn't see it.
It's good. It's got Bug Eye Girl.
Okay, that sounds like something you
Did
might
see Emma?
Want to walk back at some point. I don't know who you're talking about. So,
did you see Emma?
Yeah, fuck yeah, I saw Emma.
The new one?
Yeah, I saw the new one.
You saw the new Emma?
Yes, I fucking... do you know me? Of course I fucking saw the new Emma. I saw it like the day it came out.
You know Emma from Emma?
From Bug the new Girl? One?
Yeah.
Yeah.
She was also in...
Vivitch?
Well, she was the Vivitch in Vivitch.
What's
a Vivitch?
She was also
in... it's a witch, but they spell it with two V's because it's like
okay.
New England Old in time. The colonial era.
Okay.
She was also in that movie with Professor X, where he's like has multiple personalities.
I didn't see that one.
M. Night Shyamalan.
Oh yeah, I didn't see that one. You know what I did?
Oh,
see?
That's good.
Okay, well I didn't see it. You know what I did see? Is,
she's got kind of big eyes.
But you said bug eyes.
I guess I meant like big eyes.
Okay, all right. Well, don't ever compliment a lady. I think big eyes is already like not a great thing to say to someone you're courting, but yeah. Bug eyes is like you're done from the go. But the movie that I did see is, and this is relevant, is Nicolas Cage is a medieval knight, but there's maybe a witch.
Oh, right. Gosh, that was a good movie.
Fuck yeah. That movie
what
fucking
was that
rocks.
Called?
I think it's called The Vivitch as well, probably.
I saw it in Herald Square.
Season of the Witch?
And there was a... I was with you? I was either with you or my wife.
Okay.
And we had snuck booze into the theater. And there was a homeless man there, and he asked if he could have some of the booze.
And could he?
I think we did end up kind of giving him some. I can't remember. Because, like, whatever.
Yeah.
We're all here to get drunk, right?
Yeah. You're at a Nicolas Cage movie.
We all came to this public what else theater to get drunk, right? Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
What
anyway, that's
about?
My strike the against bitch. The patriarchy. Tanner,
yes.
What's
glad you had one.
Who's that knocking at? What's that knocking? Who's that knocking at the door?
Tony Brook, Child Protective Service.
No.
Get your hands on your fucking head. Is that what you mean?
No, I'm asking you who's at knocking at the door, and if you want to say what door, that would be great.
Oh, what door? The problem is the oops all segment thing.
Yeah, no, that's a problem.
Because it could have been totally...
There could be
a lot of doors.
Yeah. Okay, the music's still playing, though.
Claudia's Closet!
Yeah, and it's Claudia's Closet. And what's Claudia wearing this week? And I want to be delicate about this, and I want to be careful about this.
Please.
Okay? And I mostly want you to be delicate and careful about this.
I'm not even going to say a word.
Okay, perfect. Can I read you this passage?
Yeah.
In the old days, before Jeremy, that is, if you put Claudia and Stacy in a room together, they'd start gabbing like mad about some sale at the mall or their parents or something. But that day, I didn't hear a peep as I entered the room. Stacy was sitting at one end of the bed, leafing through the latest issue of Teen Zine and twirling a lock of her curly blonde hair. Claudia was sitting at her desk, stringing beads onto a leather thong.
Excuse me?
Claudia was sitting at her desk, stringing beads onto a leather thong.
Here's what I suspect is happening.
Okay.
And it's Claudia's Closet, but it's also Jack and Tanner Fashion Idiots.
Okay, yeah. Should we do the music for that?
I think so.
Oh my god, why she come out here with this crane on like she at an arcade?
It's called Jack and Tanner Fashion Idiots.
Why you ain't got no shoes on?
Girl, no.
All them sweaters.
I think thong... in our heads is like thong song, right?
Yeah, that's what it is.
That's what it has to be, right?
And what better way to bling up your thong than getting a leather one and stringing some beads onto it?
Here's what I know, because I'm a well-traveled man.
Okay.
Kind of a intellectual.
Australia.
Australians call flip-flops thongs.
They call flip-flops
don't
thongs
think
on Bondi Beach, don't they? And our Australian listeners are nodding their heads, aren't they?
Yes. Yes, Jake and Tanner, you're totally right. We call flip-flop sandals thongs. And maybe that's what she's talking about?
But why would Ellen suddenly switch to Australian?
But why would she be talking about... thong underwear.
When did the thong song come out? Is it Ellen
99?
Is Ellen just trying to wheeze off that juice? She's like, everyone's talking about thongs. Cisco's
Ellen,
popping
Ellen
off right
is
now.
So sheltered that she has no idea what a thong is.
Yeah.
And she hears this song on the radio all the time called the thong song. And she was like, I guess this is what kids are into now.
She's like, thong, 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 thong. Everybody's wearing them. And
Claudia's making
but Claudia wouldn't
thong.
Just wear a normal thong because she's Claudia. She would string beads onto a leather one.
Yeah, that sounds right.
Okay. Well, good.
Okay.
Who's that knocking at the door?
Stony Brook Child Protective Services! Get on the fucking ground!
And more importantly, what is that door for?
Okay, is this one of the future segments?
No, this is one we have. I mean, what's going on with that door even?
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, why do you have it? And what's in there?
Right. One sec.
And what's behind it?
Yeah. Again, one sec.
And I'm just standing here.
Just one sec. I just need to look in my notes.
Wondering what on earth, in the name of all that is holy... have you got behind that dang door? And what's
what
in
what
there?
Say? Secret room? Nasty room?
It's a nasty room, are you saying?
Xbox.
Your Xbox. Oh, okay. So it's like a playroom.
No, I don't have this saved anywhere.
Excuse me? I'm just having trouble.
Xbox.
We were just saying random words, and I really want to know what's behind the door. Is it like your Xbox or what?
It's... my nasty room.
Okay. Do you have an Xbox in there?
I keep my Xbox in there.
Okay, and what's that helicopter?
Promise me that whatever happens in my nasty room,
yeah,
stays a secret between you and I. And if you want to leave at any time, you may. Helicopter's on standby.
Okay. So before we proceed, what you're saying, and now I'm slightly regretting
asking, I don't have the script up. I'm just like, it's been quite some time since we had to do this, Jack, so I'm kind of winging it.
Okay, I'm just saying that I maybe have bitten off more than I can chew here, because it sounds like what you're saying is that not only is what is behind that door, the answer is a nasty room.
It's my nasty room.
You've already got a helicopter in anticipation of me not liking what's in there.
Yeah.
Okay, and
it's my nasty room.
Is your Xbox in there?
Yes.
Okay. What games do you have?
I actually just signed up for Xbox Game Pass.
Okay.
And I downloaded Kingdom Hearts 1.5.
Okay, that sounds fun.
Yeah.
Do you have that
one? Are you
one
familiar with Kingdom Hearts at all?
Katamari Damacy?
I have Katamari Damacy on my Switch. Yeah.
Oh, you don't have it on the Xbox? Do you have it in the nasty room? Because I've always wanted to play that.
I have a Switch on in my nasty room, yeah. You would like it. It's very fun.
Okay. Animal Crossing?
Do you have a Switch yet?
No. I should get one. I want to play
Animal Crossing. Is good. A lot of people really like it. I have lost interest.
Okay.
It's a lot of like management, and I just...
Okay,
you know
yeah. It's like when we all got obsessed with Tiny Tower. Remember that?
I remember you all getting obsessed with Tiny Tower, yeah.
Okay. And what's behind the door is the Xbox. The room is nasty. The helicopter's here, and it's Mr. Gray Will See You Now, our hit segment.
Mr. Gray Will See You Now.
Isn't it? Yep. We're talking about what Alan Gray is up to this week.
Yeah.
And he's going to see us now.
Alan heavy book this week. He had a lot of fun. He had a star turn. It was nice to hear from him again.
Yeah.
It was nice to know that he's doing well. He's matured a little bit, too.
He's matured the tiniest bit. He knows when to shut the fuck up. When Ted Morley gets fired, he's like cool about it. And he's like, let's work together to get him reinstated.
Everyone loves Ted Morley. I feel like if I were a middle school teacher, I would be a Ted Morley type.
I feel that way too.
About me?
About me.
No, you would be like, what's the like dorky teacher who's the next door teacher to Karen's class at Stony Brook Academy? That's who you would be. Mr. Berger?
You know what Mr. Berger means is Mr. Shepherd in French.
See?
Yeah, it could be that. I would be Mr. Trout.
Or you would be that beige lady. Who's their substitute for like a second.
In this book, they have a lady who shows up and like, this is very Ellen. Ellen is definitely talking about someone in her life. Like when Mr. Morley gets like suspended for recommending that they read a fucking book for adolescents that's one of the great novels, she shows up and Ellen is like, she was wearing all beige. She had beige pants and a beige shirt and her eyes were beige and there was nothing behind those eyes.
I'm beige. If I were blue, I would die. If I were blue, I would die.
That's great. And we're talking about what would happen if Alan Gray was in this book and what he would say. And
he were in this book.
And he were in this book. And one of the things he says that I think is really good is also my... Matt, where are you? Can I say it?
Yes, although I think it's mine.
There are a lot of burns in this book, so if you want to say this one, I can say another one.
Okay. I think you'll all enjoy this one. What I want each of you to do is write a biography. I heard groans. Of Madame Curie or something? Rachel asked. She sounded deathly bored. Nope, said Ted. It'll be about someone much closer to you. In fact, it will be a biography of someone in your class. More groans. But everyone in the class is a bore, said Alan. Nobody in here is an astronaut or a rock star. Especially you, Dave said to him. Dave.
That's funny. That's a burn from Dave, though. That counts as a burn.
Who's Dave? Who's Dave?
That's a good question. And if Ellen were here, that's the one question I would ask her. Who the fuck is Dave?
But that's the point, said Ted, ignoring Dave. I want you to figure out how to create a fascinating biography of one of your fellow students. As I said yesterday, it's my belief that everyone's life is interesting. We all have our own stories, but we rarely have the chance to share them. I know Kogi's story, said Alan. Born under a rock, raised by emus, destined for mediocrity.
It's very good.
Razor sharp.
It's razor sharp. And then he ends up getting paired with Koki, which is fucking dope. And I would love to read the fanfic of that. And I actually maybe ship that.
Ooh, that's a good ship.
And that's
right?
My ship of the week.
Alan Koki.
Yeah.
Koki Gray. I love that.
Mason and Gray sounds good.
Mason and Gray. Ooh, they're lover detectives.
Yes.
Love that. What's
I love
your burn?
That. I love that. Here's a burn, and it's from Sam, and it's when Carrie Rutland is interviewing Christie's family for his biography.
Thank you for giving me the good burn, Christie. By the way.
This is a pretty good burn, but it's not it's as good as that captured. One. Carrie shrugged. Whatever. He turned to Sam. Now tell me a little bit about Christie as a baby. Was she cute? Did she have any hair when she was born? How much did she drool? Hey, I said. What does drool have to do with anything? Carrie glared at me. I thought you were going to sit quietly. Oh, right, I said. I pretended to zip my lips. Go on. Carrie looked back at Sam. Well, said Sam, as I remember, she was a little bruiser. She'd grab my finger and hold on so tight I could have swung her around. But the other thing about her was that she was constantly, and I mean constantly, wetting herself.
Yeah. My son does that.
It's a burn on Miles as well, I guess.
He wets himself quite a bit, yeah.
Okay.
I was under the impression that that was fairly normal. Is it not? Should I be worried?
I don't remember that far back.
Did Cyril ever wet himself?
I would hope not.
Yeah. I guess now that we're talking about it, it does seem abnormal.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to shame anyone, but it's not great.
Well, maybe he's unhealthy. Maybe he's like incontinent.
I mean, maybe he's just a fucking anarchist.
Oh, yeah. He's just like...
And that would be cool. He's just like, fuck your rules. Fuck society, man.
Is there a sect of anarchy that's just like totally anti-toilet?
I think maybe like the cynics, like the Greek cynics, like Diogenes, the cynic.
Okay.
Who like, I think his thing was that he like didn't believe that he needed to eat. And so he ended up starving to death.
Okay. Smart. So the cynics weren't very bright.
No, they were brighter than you could ever imagine.
Sound bright and starve themselves to death because they were convinced they didn't.
Well,
have to
that's because you can't fucking see it, man.
It sounds like I don't
what he was
it.
Doing was cool as hell. It's cool. It's like cool. It's like edgy. Think about it as edgy. But he probably also wet himself because he probably didn't believe he needed to like
go potty.
Use the public conveniences.
Right.
Yeah. But okay. We're talking about Alan Gray. Can I say more things that Alan Gray did?
Please.
Here's another funny one. Christie has this big party at the end of the book that is really lovely. Like, everyone's there. Ellen is just like, she kind of delivered on being like, oh, and Jesse's back from fucking dance camp, and Mallory's back for the weekend from Massachusetts, and Dawn is in town, and Shannon Kilborn is here, and Logan's invited. Like, every fucking person that you could want is at this party.
It's a who's who. It's a Stony Brook who's who.
It's a Stony Brook who's who. And it goes fairly well, except Stacey and Claudia are mad at each other and Logan.
Oh, madder than ever because Claudia gets paired up with Jeremy in
biography
fact
class.
Or fiction. Yeah. And he reveals all his deepest secrets to Claudia.
Can I talk briefly about the fucking Fame Wolf, actually, before I say this thing that Alan Gray did?
Yeah.
Please. I like being in this nasty room with you for like longer than we need to be.
Sounds like you've kind of adopted the nasty room lifestyle.
Well, some people adopt the nasty room lifestyle. I was actually born in the nasty room.
Okay.
So
by it.
Yeah.
Shaped by it.
Yeah. I've been shaped by the nasty room. What the fuck is Jeremy the Fame Wolf up to this week? Here are two things that we learned about him. This is what happens at the party. Here's the thing number one. I saw Claudia and Jeremy talking with Ted. They invite Ted. Then he moved on, and the two of them continued chatting. Jeremy had arrived with a corsage for Stacy, and he was her date for the party, but I couldn't help noticing that he kept gravitating toward Claudia. So this fucking asshole shows up at like a random fucking house party at Christie's house with a fucking like prom corsage for Stacy, who he knows is in like a massive fucking feud with her best friend over him, and then spends the whole party talking to the best friend.
Like, but it sounds like it's not his fault because Claudia has developed some kind of gravitational field around her.
Maybe it's that leather thong with the beads.
Yes, it must be.
That's what it is.
That's what she came to the party in.
I guess that makes sense. Like,
I love your flip-flops, as you Yanks call them.
I didn't know you were Australian.
Yeah.
Did you get those on Bondi Beach?
I like your Cobra hat.
What do they call those big bags of wine? Something sacks.
Australian baby bees.
Yeah.
Please tweet at ex-president and tell him you call those big sacks of wine that you like hang on a clothes drying thing. And drink out of.
Okay, so that explains that, though. It doesn't explain the corsage. Like, what the fuck is this asshole doing?
The corsage is weird.
The corsage
and
is weird.
Like, Christie specifically says to, like, Stacy, who should have relayed this to the Fame Wolf,
yeah,
that it's not a, like, date party.
It's just not a date party, and it's also, like, fucking, like, you don't need to, like, overdo it when, like, you've, like, caused this massive rift. I fucking hate Jeremy. Here's the other thing the Fame Wolf does. It's going great for me, said Claudia of the Biography Project. Jeremy is so interesting. She reached out for a Malamar. I mean, today I found out that he once swam with dolphins down in Florida or somewhere. He said it was one of the most meaningful experiences of his life. It was as if he was communicating with the dolphins. Isn't that awesome? So the Fame Wolf can speak with the dolphins.
Interesting.
And is that, and I don't want to get out over my skis from like a science perspective here, but are dolphins the wolves of the sea?
I think so. Did you see SeaLab?
I don't think so. Oh, is that the cartoon?
Or no, was it called SeaQuest?
SeaQuest?
The cartoon was called SeaQuest, but I meant SeaQuest DSV.
Okay.
Did you see that?
I think so.
It had a dolphin who could talk with some kind of device on its head.
Okay. Yeah. That's starting to ring a bell.
So we would probably want to get that dolphin on the line.
Yeah.
Let me call the dolphin real quick.
Okay.
And loop it into Darwin, the dolphin, due to technological advances, was able to communicate with the crew. Let me get Darwin the dolphin on the line real quick, and perfect. I'm going to be the interviewer, and let me get Darwin the dolphin on the line real quick.
Okay.
And Jack, I guess you just kind of take a back seat here.
Okay.
Good to throw you into the deep end.
You're wanting me to be the dolphin?
No, I want you to take a back seat, and I want to get Darwin the dolphin on the line here. I'm going to Skype him into this Zoom call.
Great.
Okay, so do, 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 bloop, bloop. Darwin the dolphin from SeaQuest DMV.
Me, 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 me.
No, he speaks, he has a device on his head that lets him speak English.
Don't tell me how I can speak.
You sound a lot like Jack.
What do you want?
Just
you
a want? Note.
What do you want?
Just a note, Darwin. You sound a lot like Jack.
I don't remember.
You're a dolphin
movie.
With some kind of computer on your head that lets you talk in like a robot voice.
It is me, Darwin the dolphin.
Darwin. Would you consider
I'm
your
very busy. I can only speak for 10 more seconds.
Would you consider your species the wolves of the sea?
Yes.
Okay, thank you, Darwin.
Okay. God. That is
you did poorly with that.
Rude.
You're not good under pressure.
Saw that cartoon like
it's not a cartoon.
Fucking... It's not?
SeaQuest DSV is a live action show.
Oh, I didn't see it.
I think River Phoenix, maybe?
I did not see it. I don't even know what it is.
It's Star Trek, but it takes place in like an underwater base.
That sounds fucking dope.
Yeah.
We're still in Alan Gray. How do we get out of it?
How do we get out of it? I thought maybe the dolphin role play would get us out. I guess I can read a poem since we already did our burns, right?
Okay, yeah, read us a poem.
Okay.
So little cause for joy or good or such exuberant songs should grace the pages of this book or anywhere belong. Yet joy and good we still find, though. Her song rings out for miles. She blesses us and expels our woe, and we are struck with smiles.
Oh.
And it's the Smiles for Miles, Ellen Miles moment.
Okay.
Of the week. It's an Ellen book.
Mm-hmm.
Early on, I kind of thought maybe I was dealing with another ghostwriter, and I captured a passage, and I thought, this is cool. It's actually also my baller of the week.
Okay, great. Let's hear it.
You may be wondering why I call him Ted. It's because he told me to. Well, not just me. He told the whole class to call him that. It's my name, he said, shrugging. When I hear Mr. Morley, I think people are talking about my dad. It's not always easy to remember to call him Ted, but we try. When we forget, he just smiles. And then we remember.
That's nice.
That's it.
That's good.
It's just Ted.
And he just smiles.
It's fucking Ted.
Yeah.
Cool dude. Ellen really brought him to life for me.
He is so fucking cool. He reminded me of this English teacher I had who's super into the Smiths. And we would like talk about the Smiths after class.
They're canceled.
I know. But at the time, they weren't. Let's see. Did I have a smiles moment? I was just so impressed with how cool Carrie Rutland was this week.
Yeah, Ellen does a good job with Carrie Rutland. Did she like invent him? He was mostly a mysteries character, right?
Yeah, he's mostly a mysteries character, and that's like part that the real Smiles for Miles moment is just that she like did a mystery, even though they asked her to do a Friends Forever. I'm gonna read this very brief, funny Carrie Rutland moment, and then we are gonna immediately leave and go. But this is a taste of Smiles for Miles, Ellen Miles' deft touch. You had a phone call, my mom said as soon as I walked into the kitchen. She handed me a slip of paper. Carrie wants you to call him back. A phone number was written underneath his name. This was not my favorite day. I really didn't feel like calling him back, but curiosity got the better of me. What did he want, anyway? I dialed the number on the paper. The phone rang twice, and then somebody picked up. But he or she didn't say anything. Hello? I said tentatively. Who's this? I recognized Carrie's voice. I should have known. Who else but Carrie Rutland would answer the phone without answering it? It's Christy, I said. Yes? You called me, I said. Not this time.
Carrie,
fucking killing it.
What a cool dude.
And I think we used to have a segment for him that was like, Carry on my wayward son.
Carry on my wayward son.
And with that, it's definitely time for us to leave, and it is also time for us to go. And I would like to leave and go, unless there's something that you
there
urgently want to
peace when no. you are done.
Okay. That was, you had one opportunity to say something. And
put
you
your weary head to rest.
To keep singing
Don't
on the
you
show,
cry
and actually
no
singing
more.
His band on the show. And I just actually just talked to the board, and they said that singing is banned again on the show.
Singing is not banned.
And the board
and it
has agreed that singing
it's
is
my
banned,
First Amendment right, and I fucking literally just read the First Amendment to you, and you know it's my right.
Yeah, and this book is basically the First Amendment. What I'd love to do is to leave. I would also love to go. First, I would like to thank you, Tanner, for bearing with me.
Welcome.
I would like to thank the Baby Nation for bearing with us.
You're welcome.
Okay. And I would like to implore our listeners to support our show and get another show in the process by going to patreon.com/BSCCpodcast and subscribing for just $5 a month to our other great show. That's the Little Sister Little Episode show, and we sing the descriptions, and it's about the Little Sister books. And you, now that it's Oops All Segments, you're missing out on a ton of segments that we have.
You've gotten a little taste of the Oops All Segments that happen over there. But we haven't. I guess we could sing the description on one of these.
I think it's going to happen.
Yeah.
I almost did for this one. I almost did that Kanye song about power.
Oh, yeah.
But then I was like, I'm not going to write two fucking parody songs in a week this week.
Oh, it's my song this week.
Yeah.
So you wouldn't have, you would not have written two
songs. Well, but it was my song on fucking Sunday. So anyway, that's beside the point. What I would also like to do is encourage people to buy our merch, bit.ly/BSCC merch. We've got shirts, we got totes, we got stickers, we got all sorts of good things over there. Check it out. That's another great way to support our show. The very easiest way you can support our show is by rating and reviewing it on Apple Podcasts. It takes but a minute and it helps.
Continues to help.
I assume it helps.
All this time later.
If a bunch of people right now went and like reviewed and rated us all at once, I think it would probably help. What I would also like to suggest is that you join the Baby Nation Facebook group. The page is Babysitters Club Club, but the action happens in the group. You can find it by going to the page. All the good people are there, and it's nice and good there, and it's nice, and it's also good, and you should go there.
Yes.
This week, Tanner, we read a novel that was called Babysitters Club Friends Forever, number 5, Christy Power.
Christy Power.
Next week, we're going to be reading a little book called Babysitters Club Friends Forever, number 6, Stacy and the Boyfriend Trap.
Okay.
Ooh, that sounds troubling.
She's going to trap the fame wolf.
She's going to fucking put out one of those like big claw traps and get him on the leg.
Ooh, yes. And then a sexy hunter will come along and free him, and they will fall in love.
Okay. I'll read that. All that remains is for me to say that this week I have been and always will be Jack Alexander Shepard.
My name is Tanner Greenring.
Please do remember to round off the corners in your bedroom, drown all your dolls, call your senator and demand your right to bear time, and do not forget to let daddy love you as much as I do. Remember the Delaney's, remember the Trip Man, take your dream horse through that maze. Claudia is wearing a bra now, and the way she talks, you would think that boys had just been invented.
Hello, I'm doing a test. I'm testing my audio. This is me talking in kind of a normal way when I talk to Jack. I'm going to turn down myself in my headphones a little
Hello,
bit.
Hello, and welcome to Mic Check.
Hello, it's Mic Check.
It's Jack Shepard here, and I am checking my mic, but also I'm checking in with Tanner to see what mic you've got on your mind today.
Yeah. Well, Jack, I live with a lot of privilege.
Okay.
And I live a affluent life, and I use the money from my podcast earnings to buy myself a mixing board.
Okay.
Pretty basic one, but now I can hear myself in my own head.
Yes.
I've never heard my own voice before. I hate it.
Oh, okay. Yeah. It's not great.
And I'm trying to think of like which obnoxious, like, weaselly little mic my own voice reminds me of. I'm gonna say Mike TV from Willy Wonka.
Okay, that's great. And the mic that I want to talk about in this week's edition of Mic Check is Mike Wazowski.
Oh, okay.
Or as Cyril calls him, Eye Guy from
Eye Guy.
Monsters Inc. Because he's a guy with a big eye and he's Eye Guy.
Does he like Monsters Inc. now?
Yeah, he likes it. I mean, he just wants to watch Car from Cars more or less exclusively.
Which Cars movie is his favorite?
The new one.
Oh, there's a new one?
Well, that's what he calls it. New Car from Cars. And it's Cars 3.
Okay.
We won't allow Cars 2 in this household.
Oh, really?
I like listening to my voice in my ears. My goodness.
What's wrong with Cars 2?
It sucks ass.
Okay. And that's Cyril's words or yours?
Those are my words, but I don't want to expose my child to something that sucks ass.
I have a question.
Yeah.
Has the Carverse expanded beyond Cars to like planes and trains and
in Cars
and
2,
boats?
They really fuck around with that. There's like helicopters and shit.
Okay.
This has been Mic Check.
This has been Mic Check.
Any other mics you want to talk about?
Vice President Mike Pence.
No.
It's been in the news lately. Did you hear about this?
Are there any songs about mics? Because I want to check my mic with a song.
I can think of a song by Mike.
I want to be like Mike. And that's Jordan.
Stapp.
Scott Stapp.
No, Mike...
is from Creed.
Stipe. Mike Stipe.
Jesus God. Okay, you're canceled.
That was a HeadGum Podcast.